I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, welcome back to Soul Sisters. This is your host, Jessie Katz. I have a one-on-one conversation today with Lady Group Love herself. That is Hannah Hooper of the band Group Love, who has a new album out. It's called Big Mess. And that album actually came out the day after Hannah and I chatted at the Atlantic offices. So it was a little offsite adventure for Soul Sisters that day. We talked about how crazy life is. It's kind of the big mess that they named their album after, but in all of the best ways. She has a really good handle on the mess that is life, and we got a little deep about it. So I think you'll enjoy this conversation with Hannah Hooper of Group Love. Hannah Hooper, what's going on?
What's up?
Welcome to Soul Sisters.
Happy to be here.
By here, we are in your label's office.
The head of our label's office.
The head.
Yes. He's probably going to come in like a couple times.
Great.
Yeah.
He should chime in if he does.
Okay.
I'll ask him some burning questions about you.
He'll have very long-winded answers.
Okay,
but
great.
Love him.
We can edit it later.
Okay.
It's the beauty. It's not live.
That's right.
But unedited. We don't edit. We don't edit, guys.
Oh.
So you're getting the real deal. Yeah.
Good to know.
But don't censor yourself either, please.
I won't. I had a 4 a.m. wake-up call today, and we played Colbert last night. It's all very exciting. Then we did the Today Show today.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
Who knew you had a 4:50 a.m. sound check, which is like...
Did you go to sleep?
I did. I slept.
Okay. What time did you go to bed? How does a human being prepare their body for that kind of performance at that time?
You don't. I just don't think about things anymore. I just go to bed. I'm so tired at the end of the day. It takes very little thought to go to bed.
Okay, and then that's good.
The alarm this morning, I hit it. I snoozed for 8 minutes.
Okay.
And it was the best 8 minutes. It was so good.
Did you wake up before the second alarm came on?
No, like I actually
was an
set
8 minute
it for
snooze.
8 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice. And yeah. That was all you needed?
No, I needed so much more, but that's all I actually could like.
That's all you could do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I saw the performance on the Today Show. It was great.
Oh, cool.
You guys looked like it was 3 p.m.
Right.
Yeah.
Then we did our job.
You made it work. It's actually funny because I think right before they went to commercial, we could hear you kind of sigh and say, "We did it."
Oh shit.
I think I was hearing you say that.
Yeah, I think.
Which was an amazing moment.
Well, okay. We had this moment where they were like, okay, we've actually changed what's going to happen. Christian and Hannah, you're going to get mic'd up for an interview right before the song.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, so we had two packs going on and then different sound things happening. So I literally went from this weird interview that suddenly like a minute 30 on TV is really a long time.
Yeah.
Like to be asked anything.
Right.
I'm just like, dude, I just want to sing. Like, I don't want to say anything on TV.
Because it's not like a podcast. You're supposed to be a little bit more concise on TV, I think.
Yeah. People are like, tell me exactly what your album's about right now. Right. And you're like,
in 10 words.
Music.
Yeah. But you feel like it went okay.
I haven't watched it.
Okay.
I might never watch it.
It's probably better that way.
Yeah.
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 How'd it go on Colbert? How was that?
Okay. So I would say, I think it went really well. Uh-huh. I watched it this morning on YouTube.
Oh, you watched that one. Okay.
I wore a hotel bathrobe from our hotel that we're staying at. Because I realized we basically flew Honolulu, Korea, Australia, Boston, and then came to New York, and my clothes are like, looks like my suitcase is a garbage can. We also have a 1-year-old child with us. I mean, okay. This is just the life is.
There's a lot of layers happening here. A
lot of layers, no laundry really happening too. And lots of shows, lots of sweating.
Layers, no laundry.
Lots of climate changes.
Yeah.
So it came and everyone's like, yeah, dude, Colbert tomorrow. And I kept being like, yeah, Colbert tomorrow. Whoa. I got to wear something and not look. So, and you know, the option is, do I want to just be comfortable? Yes, always. But do I want to, you know, it's TV. You got to be a little ridiculous. Like, it's like television's so funny. So
have you done a lot of late night?
We've done a lot. We've done like everything.
Yeah.
Except for Fallon. I'm.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know if it's like a personal
thing.
What's
up, Jimmy?
And SNL, which is.
Oh, what? SNL, is that the dream?
The
is that
dream
still
is,
the dream?
Yeah. I think I'd totally faint though the moment that happens, but that is the dream.
If you could pick your host for the episode that you do of SNL, who would it be right now?
Oh my god, that's a good question.
I know it's hard to answer those questions when you've been up since 4 a.m. but
yeah, no, that's a really good question. I'm honestly not sure. I guess just not Donald Trump.
Yeah, anyone but
like,
Trump.
That's all I can think of. I do not.
Although if he hosted that episode, everyone would watch.
I know, but see, we're not going to talk about Trump because I think everyone feels the same way. But it's just
what is there to say anymore?
Because I actually don't even want to talk about. I don't want to play into what's happening.
Don't give him any time. Okay, yeah. Moving
Boom.
On.
Boom.
Boom.
Yeah.
Okay, so Colbert, you wore an actual bathrobe.
I wore the hotel bathrobe
while you were performing.
It was hanging in our room, and I was just looking at Christian. And I was like, you know what? That will be, there's a little humor in that, but actually it looked kind of like a mink on, and there was something
what color was it?
White, stark white, the exact color they tell you not to wear on TV. So I'd have like a meeting with the camera team, and it just felt funny because I'm in this like oversized bathrobe.
And you're trying to sell them on it.
And they were like, you know what, just do it. And it's literally the brightest thing on the stage.
Yeah.
But it was great.
That's awesome. Well done.
Thank you.
So you're a pretty fashion forward person, and you put a lot of thought into that, and you have like lines that you've created and a whole Instagram thing. Has that changed at all since you've had a kid? Are you a little bit more like fuck it to the thought that you put into that?
Well, it's funny because I'm in like, I have crimped hair. I kind of look like a poodle right now, and I'm in full makeup, but I've actually never really thought that much about fashion. Yeah. My thing is always be comfortable, and I kind of have a genderless style off stage. At least I wear a lot of, Christian and I share most our clothes.
That's awesome.
Which is awesome.
So convenient.
It is when you live this way. I do a lot of like thrifting. I grew up in San Francisco, so I do a lot of thrifting. Uh-huh. But I guess like since I've had a kid, like if I have eyeliner on, it's a miracle day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Totally. So today this is crazy because I'm Kim Kardashian right now.
Is this leftover from the Today Show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like feel it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You feel it on your face.
I have freckles under here.
You never know it, guys, but I have freckles.
Under this. Yeah.
I've seen the sun.
Yeah. I think like having a baby just on every level has just simplified my life so much. It's just I wear what's in front of me.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I have my real friends and my family. It's like really just like there's no bullshit anymore.
Yeah,
there's
just
no time for it.
And I've heard that having a kid can make you better at your work because you don't have the time to just frivolously let waste. Like when you have time to work, you actually use that time.
Yeah.
Has that been your experience?
That definitely has. I think that, you know, creativity is so selfish in this weird way. You can't like be like, I'm going to be creative from 5 to 7 while she's napping. So
true.
But I've been more creative since I've had a child.
Yeah.
I think it's because I feel things in more, like specific time frames.
Okay.
Like, not like I'm like when she takes a nap, I feel things. No, because I am concerned about her. You know, she's starting to crawl and stuff. So there's a lot of like, it's just I'm worried about someone else now. It's not so, you don't realize how like self-involved we all are until you have a child, and it's really not about. It's not about you. It's not about me anymore.
Right. You're like, I haven't thought about myself in 10 hours.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've taken one breath.
Right. Yeah. Now, you guys wrote the new album after she was born, right?
Yeah. No, we actually wrote it during the whole pregnancy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys write everything together?
We do. We write. And we write, the band writes together, too.
You
so
do? Okay.
This album really has a nice, like, ebb and flow between personal writing and then writing like through jams and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
But how does that work when you two live together, but the whole band doesn't live together?
Right.
Correct?
So we, a lot of the time, I mean, it's just, it depends on the song, but
like, are they ever like, guys, don't do anything until we're all together?
No,
like,
I think
save it.
Because a lot of the songs, it's actually bizarre the way this works, but Christian and I write kind of sad music together, but like more beautiful, you know, more, and then when we bring it to the band, you know, once you add drums and bass, and there's an energy that's kind of anthemic.
Okay, yeah.
And the music takes on a whole new thing. So the fact that we've been labeled this, like, happy, like, Southern California sunny band, Christian and I are like, that's sort of funny. We probably wrote 40 songs for this album.
Wow.
And then we, 11
whittled
of them.
Down to 11,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where do those other songs go?
Well, we have some that are, if you pre-order our album, I'm such a salesman, if you pre-order our album before September 9th, you can get a secret song we wrote.
Okay.
And that's kind of sad. It disappears after that if you don't pre-order.
Yeah, because this podcast won't post until after.
Okay, so then you didn't get the song, I guess. It's called Sorry, Electric guys. Shock. We are going to do some secret stuff with our extra music. Like, yeah. It's not going to disappear.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, it's true. Like, a lot of your lyrics on the songs that I've heard so far from the new album are deep, introspective, looking at your life, looking at the life of your child kind of stuff. But then I see you guys perform it, or I watch your videos, and it's like full of energy and life, and it's exciting.
Yeah.
It's not brooding like it could seem if you just read it on the page. Right. So that makes sense when you say the band adds a whole nother flavor to it.
Well, there's just this total difference for us all between writing and performing. And
yeah.
And the song takes on a totally different form. Like, it actually, I think different stages throughout an album cycle, a song can go from meaning one thing to meaning something, especially if a song catches on with an audience. You suddenly realize, oh my gosh, and you get all these emails and letters and things like, this song helps someone through all these things, you know,
yeah.
graduation or death or change. And then the song means something else for you. And,
right.
Yeah.
When you're writing a song, let's say you're writing some lyrics and probably in your mind, let's say they're about your daughter.
Yeah.
But then at a certain point, do you intentionally turn that a little bit so that it can have a broader meaning? Because I'm listening to some of your songs and I'm like, okay, in this part, it sounds like they're definitely singing about their baby. Oh, but you could also be singing about a girlfriend or a friend, or, and I'm wondering like how that evolves through the songwriting process.
Yeah, I get asked a lot, like, has writing songs changed since you've had like a hit or something and you've experienced,
okay.
you know?
So
I honestly, for all, like, whether I'm painting or writing or, you know, anything, I never think about anyone but like this subconscious thing that I don't even yeah. know where it's coming from.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
it never is, nothing changes for any reason to make it
Got
like
it. It's never that conscious.
We had this like bonus track, I guess, on our last album called Beans on Pizza that mm-hmm. I honestly wish I thought more about the lyrics, because the song, the melody is so epic.
Yeah.
But the lyrics are so ridiculous that it never really got to a place I wanted it to, but it felt like emotionally and melodically, it felt bigger than the lyrics were like, why are you putting beans on my pizza? And I was like, damn it. Like, I really should have thought this one out more. Christian and I really just like stoning out there.
Yeah, but I'm sure there are fans of yours who turned that into a huge metaphor.
Oh, they love it.
Yeah.
And you know, when I learned actually that the Beatles song Yesterday uh-huh. was originally Scrambled Eggs.
Really? I never heard that.
It took a while for them to figure out,
That's funny.
Yesterday.
Is that the one that Paul heard in a dream?
Maybe.
I think that was Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. He heard the melody. That was the story in a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Then he was like, well, I got to throw some bullshit lyrics on there.
Totally.
Yeah.
Scrambled eggs. Right.
I mean, I think I read once that John wrote I Am the Walrus because he had an English teacher that he wanted to antagonize. So
he
was like, I'm just going to write some words that make absolutely no fucking sense. But then it becomes this epic song that people
totally. That's amazing.
Which I guess goes to prove, I don't know. I mean, that's the whole thing about art. It's all just what you're projecting on it anyway.
Yeah, that's what.
Right?
That's definitely why I'm an artist.
Yeah. I mean, are you someone who refuses to interpret the meaning of your own lyrics because you want people to do that for themselves? Or will you talk about that?
No, I can talk about, like, you know, there's always a catalyst for something, whether mm-hmm. it's kind of subconscious or not. I have like an inkling of where it came from, whether it was like an event or actually it was something that we sat down and wrote or whatever. But I do completely embrace the fact that things evolve and then it changes for me too. Like, Colors is not the song that it was when I first heard it. Christian wrote that song. And with what it is now when we're playing it live, it's like that's everyone's song now for me. That's,
right.
That's not our song anymore. Yeah. That's someone else's song.
It's the world's song.
Yeah.
Does that song get the biggest crowd reaction?
I mean, it depends on, you know, in Australia, uh-huh. I feel like Borderlines and Aliens, I don't know if you know that song, but that got, and I really wanted that to be a single on our last album in the States, but I think it was too like heavy. But that got the biggest reaction at our last show in Australia. Yeah. That was exciting.
Okay.
It's different kind of everywhere. I mean, Tongue Tied gets a lot of love. That song, for sure.
Do you think it's because of like what song made it biggest on the radio in that part of the world?
I also think, you know, there's something that song, I mean, there's been a lot of people's like wedding songs and graduation songs. And I think there's something kind of, I'm not timeless for people. I mean, it's like it represents like a specific time in their life. Mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. so like anthemic and
right.
That song has become that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool to know that your songs are being attached to insane memories like that.
I'm like talking and I have to say, honestly, unless I'm on stage, half the time I don't even realize I'm talking about us. Like, yeah. It's so, this is such a dream come true that it's like actually doesn't seem real a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And
what year did you guys form officially?
2008.
Okay.
And I'm not even sure if that's correct, but I want to say that.
So under 10 years.
Yeah.
And a lot has happened.
But like I was living in New York and trying to be a painter like my whole life.
Yeah.
That's really what I wanted to do. And then I met Christian and we like smoked a joint. Next thing you know, I'm in a band. But
it's crazy.
It is crazy. But it's crazy that by doing something so effortless, it's worked, because I think people respond to the fact we're actually just being ourselves and we're writing about ourselves. And there's an honesty there that people are responding to.
So then, what kind of advice do you give to people who ask you, like, how do I make it like you made it? Because it is one of those things where everyone has a completely different story.
I know.
But there's got to be some lesson you've learned from that you could impart then.
It's hard because it's like timing is definitely this crazy thing in life that you can't control. But what you can control is honesty. And like being honest means taking risks and being okay to change and to grow and to be like, you know what, that might have been honest at this stage of my life, but I have changed now, so I have a new sound or a new style, and to embrace that and to always, like for me, it's always take a chance, because that always pushes me to a place, whether it's a mistake or not, it pushes me to a place to be creative or to like be introspective or to be something. But it's a redundancy that's kind of stagnating. Yeah. So just to try. And, you know, if you're a musician, it's just like do those things that you don't want to do, like play those shitty small rooms and.
Well, do the work.
Do the work. Let people talk over your music and just get, you will find that person the more you do it. It really is just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't plan and prepare. It's just doing it.
Yeah. Can you, you've probably talked about this ad nauseum, but for people who don't know, because not everyone does, can you just tell us a little bit about the artist retreat in Greece?
Yeah.
And how that happened exactly. And then, because from that, I want you to explain for us, if you can, what it's like being a woman in a band with four guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Greece.
Yes.
I met Christian in New York when I was in painting for my first solo show, and my friend was like, dude, you're losing your mind, I'm gonna come take you to show this, you gotta see this band Alok.
Yeah. Okay.
So I went to this bar totally against my will, and Christian was singing, he was the lead of this hardcore band, and I literally fell in love with him at first sight.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
I'm not like that kind of girl.
Yeah.
And I was a little caught off guard, and I waited after the show, like fanned out so hard, and we ended up hanging out all night, like ate pizza, listened to mixtapes in his car.
Did you guys know somebody in common?
We had my studio mate, who he knew both of us.
Okay.
And
So you at least had someone
an
introduction.
But I never heard about him. So we had the intro. And we like hung out, the sun came up, you know, and I was just like Seriously, like, oh my
God. So you're one of those people that everyone hates because you have that perfect love at first sight.
I know, but this has never happened to me. I want, like, I am the girl that was always single or had the horrible relationship. Yeah. Like, it just wasn't, I didn't even believe in love, to be honest. So to feel this for the first time was crazy. And literally 2 days later, Andrew Wesson, who's our guitar player, his brother, this is where it gets confusing. He came to my studio and invited me to go to a residency in Greece.
Okay.
He was funding a residency in Greece with this other guy. And he's like, you can come there and paint all summer. There's going to be a bunch of artists.
And so you were going as a painter, not a musician.
No, as a painter.
Yeah.
Never even crossed my mind to ever be a musician. Okay. And I just said, hey, I just met somebody who could be potentially the one. Is there any way I can bring him to Greece? And he was like, dude, if he makes art, I don't see why not. And so then I was like, I haven't even made out with this guy. I'm about to invite him to go to residency with me in Greece.
You didn't make out that first night?
No, we didn't make out. We met the next
so
night.
Okay, fine. Good.
But we basically, I mean, we went like not knowing. So anyway, I call Christian and there was like this weird, you know, silence that was probably a lot longer to me than it really was.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, let's go to Greece. So next thing I know, we're on a plane. I felt like I was going to throw up for like 10 hours. I was like, what are you? Like, all the risks that I took were not, they were just, it's not me.
So out of character.
So this is what I'm saying. Take risks. Like,
yep.
Just live that movie because that is your, that can be your life. You know what I mean? So, so we went to Greece and we met the other guys. We met Andrew, who's our guitar player, his brother, is the one who, you know, is part of the residency.
Uh-huh.
Ryan, our drummer, and our old bass player, Sean. And we all met and we just hit it off as friends. And people were Friday nights, everyone would gather and either play their own songs for people. I would show my work with other painters. And it was just this like cool vibe. And then I went out to LA with Christian. After Greece, we had no apartments in New York. We had no money, but we got enough money together to get to LA. And we moved in with Ryan's parents. And we just, we're going to record some songs. And that's really how the band started.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And now Dan, our new bass player, is amazing. We just recently met him through this band, Manchester Orchestra, who I'm looking at in a photograph. And he's insane. He's an amazing guy.
Awesome. So what has that dynamic been like for you? I mean, not just the man-woman thing.
Right.
But I imagine it must feel like a family at this point, right?
Yeah.
How long did it take for that feeling to gel?
I guess, I mean, the amazing thing about performing with these guys is we have like a secret that it's like we have a relationship kind of beyond words on stage that we can't talk about. It's like doesn't make any sense. So there's a closeness in this abstract world that that we all have. That's it's like beyond gender. It's beyond, you know, it's just like art. And that's amazing. So that happened probably after our like 15th show when I finally like calmed down and was like, okay, we're doing this. I wore a mask at our first few shows.
Really?
I couldn't even.
Oh, well, that says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I like the most obvious thing
metaphor.
Ever. Yeah. I was just like, I'm wearing a mask until someone thought I was a burn victim and then I stopped wearing it. That's literally what happened.
They're like, all the reviews are focused on your alleged scars.
Totally.
On your face.
Yeah,
so
cool.
You're distracting from the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've always been really close. And then obviously, you know, we're human, so we get on each other's nerves.
Yeah.
We're always together and stuff. But we're, you know, I realized during our time off that I so desperately needed that they are my best friends. And like, as much as I fight it, they're like, we're kind of each other's everything. So
what was it? You guys were touring for like 6 years or something?
6 years nonstop. And then when we stopped to record Never Trust a Happy Song, spreading rumors, we went right into a house and moved in all together. So it was like, it was everything.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Is there a de facto leader among you?
I mean, I think that everyone has their own role for a different reason, which is what's great. You know,
right. What's your role?
I mean, I guess I'm like, people come to me for style questions.
Okay.
I'm for relationship questions. You know.
So that's interesting because that's kind of gendered.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. I give good advice.
Yeah.
You know, I also like on a certain level, we're all such close friends that we forget sometimes when we're doing interviews and things that we say, we're all like joking with each other. So we say things we don't mean. And then that gets written up and it's like, the kooky man. But like, you know, so that's like a new thing I've been working on. Like it's our third album. And like, we need to know sometimes what we want to say.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, we still don't talk about it, but we know inside there's things we want to say.
Yeah.
Christian is like the cathartic, intense artist. Like he kind of brings us all back down to that whenever, you know, we get overwhelmed by all the other stuff that doesn't have to do with the art. He brings us back there.
Right.
And Ryan, who's our, you know, drummer, producer, and he's just a silly guy. He's always like, keeps us laughing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you remember that movie, That Thing You Do?
Yeah.
I find that in bands that have about the same number of people, people often break down in those archetypes. It's like you just describe yourself as the Liv Tyler.
Totally.
And Christian is the Jonathan Scheck. And I think Steve Zahn, no, he was the bass player in That Thing You Do. But anyway, but the drummer is like often that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. Well, actually drummers, it's interesting. I've been learning that they have similar, like Brian's a little OCD and he like crowd surfs and then immediately takes like 12 showers. Like it's pretty hilarious.
And is that a drummer thing?
I think it is. OCD? I think it is. And then Andrew.
Does that come in handy with keeping time?
Probably. Yeah. Oh my, he's, we're not even going to get into that, are we? Brian, if you listen to this. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of whatever. I mean, Andrew's like, he's like a crazy old man. He can talk your ear off about the most interesting things, but he's also an amazing surfer and just, he's a vibe guy too.
Yeah.
And then Dan is like, Dan is our moral standards. I feel like he's just, he's always, he kind of like, I can look at him and know what's right. Like what the right thing to do is.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
It's good to have that around.
It's just a really good group of people. Yeah. And we have an amazing crew too. Like people forget that bands are, they don't even function without their crew. Sound engineers, monitor people, and it just goes on forever, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you guys got pregnant, did you have to break it carefully to the band?
I think they thought we were quitting when we called them, you know?
And
I
like, was, before you told them you were pregnant, they thought it was a quitting call?
Yeah, and then when I think we said we were pregnant, then I still feel like saying relief. We are pregnant. I still never know how to say, like, we are pregnant, I'm pregnant. Because I definitely was pregnant.
Right.
Actually, Christian got a little pregnant with me. He got like 10 pounds pregnant.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was important.
He went there with you.
He needed to. Yeah. No, the band, I think they were, you know, they were excited. It's such a, I was the first person they like knew closely to ever get pregnant. So.
Oh, really?
It was.
So that's intense.
Yeah.
I remember the first close friend of mine to get pregnant. I felt very much in that pregnancy.
Yeah, it's intense. Because it's like very like primitive.
Exactly.
It's a crazy, like the world has developed so much, but pregnancy has not changed at all.
It's like finding out someone you love is ill, except it's not bad, but it's kind of some of those feelings.
Yeah, it
like,
is.
This You're thing like, is happening to them and you can't totally understand it. You want to sympathize, but you don't know how to help them.
Yeah. I'm lucky that I felt like I was on ecstasy for 9 months.
Did you?
I was
you had a good one.
I was like, I think I was like the smiliest. Then I was group love, like all the stereotypes of our band. I was like, joy, just bring pizza over. We're just going to hang. Like I felt fine the whole time.
Yeah, that's great.
So for my clankles, like by the end, I was like, oh.
You were ready for those to go.
Yeah.
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 Why did the guys think that you guys might be leaving when you called them?
I think it was just, you know, it was really quickly after we decided to take a break from, or just chill from the band, and we call them, we're like, hey guys, how you guys doing? And I was just nervous to like tell them. It was like felt very like adult for us. I mean, we part of the thing that I think we're, Christian and I mean the whole band, we all, and being an artist in general, you get to kind of Peter Pan life. You get to stay in this place that you find creative, and you know, there's that youthful energy or whatever. And this is like serious. I mean, you're pregnant, you're bringing another person into the world.
Totally.
And I realized I haven't really changed that much, which is, I mean, the real parts of me haven't changed.
Like now.
Yeah.
As you sit here.
So everyone should get pregnant.
Yeah. They'll be okay.
It's just a lot of work, but just do it.
Yeah. I mean, when people get pregnant, they're like, oh my God, I'm not ready. And it's like, well, how would you ever be ready?
You've 9 months to get ready.
But to do it.
Yeah.
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 The only prep you can have.
The pregnancy is the easy part. No one talks about after pregnancy. Everyone's like, okay, the first 3 months you might feel nauseous and like use this stretch mark cream and all this stuff.
Yeah.
That's not the part you need.
That's the least of it.
Yeah, that's not what you need to know about.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you guys are going back on a huge world tour. You're on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you have a baby in tow.
Yep.
So is it kind of the same mold, but I presume you have someone to help you watch the kid?
We have an amazing nanny. It is,
maybe it's a little less drinking.
Way less drinking. Do not have a hangover with a child.
Right.
That is like the worst.
Yeah.
No, it's totally different because I feel like there's something just as exciting off stage now. Like this.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Even though she's asleep. I mean.
But just to look at her.
Yeah. She's amazing. And I'm just like re-experiencing life in this way that like we've been like discovering playgrounds in New York while we're here, you know, like taking her on the swings and just like she's like shadows are fascinating to her right now. So I'm looking at the world, and as a painter, I'm like, oh, right.
That's cool.
Lighting and like shade and depth and all these things that she's crawling and she's just starting to stand up. So now I'm appreciating the fact that I can stand. It's
That's awesome.
Basics.
Do you still paint?
I mean, I did our album cover, which is right there. And that's actually a section. That's like the most abstract thing I've ever painted. But
Roy is holding up the album cover. Yeah. I'll narrate since this is audio only.
Six fingers. I feel like subconsciously that might be the band and Willa.
Oh, I like Willa. That.
But I do a lot of drawing. I keep journals.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I like should never lose because I actually realize I'm so emo and I only write in them when I'm like upset.
Yes.
What is that? So if anyone found it, it would just be like, she must hate her life.
To look back at my childhood diary, I've like wondered, was I abused and I don't remember it? Like, why is it so sad? And I have to tell myself, because, yeah, if you're happy, you're not going to waste your time with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I really do want to like consciously write some good, like, you know, like posy entries.
Yeah. Let me put it into your songwriting sometimes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So how does it feel with the album coming out?
It's really exciting.
It's a few days away.
You know, it's weird. We're, I guess we're premiering the album at Sonos on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And the idea is, I don't even know if I'm supposed to, I don't care. The idea
well,
is.
Well, this will come out after that.
Is that like fans and people can go and listen to the album and then we'll walk through and like say hi to people while the album's playing. I have this
while
like.
While it's playing?
Yeah. I'm
that
not,
sounds terrifying
not
to
gonna
me.
Show up, first of all. So I'm just putting that out there now. I'm not going to show up till the album's done and everyone's. Because I think I have to show up contractually.
Yeah, yeah.
But
right.
I used to never go to my art openings because I just didn't like I know how I feel about it. And I'm very proud. But I don't need to. It's like I want to see people respond to it when I'm on stage. But
yeah.
I don't need to watch people like maybe look at their phone or check out their Insta or like.
Yeah.
Like I'll be so sensitive to that. I don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to feel that in addition to the album being released. But aside from that, I'm really excited.
Yeah. Like, what do you imagine like. What scene do you imagine your fans listening to your music in?
I mean, there's always like the shaggy carpet, record player, you know, headphones.
Yeah, yeah. That's like the dream
like
for
upstairs.
You.
No, yeah. I mean, there's car rides. There's kind of, it just, I like the idea of headphones. There's something about taking it in first time kind of privately. And then the idea that you slowly find the right occasion to share it with friends. And then that's
totally
kind of the way people pass music on. But
yeah. Is there a way that people consume music now that makes you cringe a little bit?
I mean, this is the time of singles, you know,
yeah.
And that is, it's a weird way to get to know a band because you get to know such a, you know, that's like
a sliver,
just a little sliver, just a little. And Christian and I like collect records and like listen to them.
Yeah.
It's a full piece. Like somebody hopefully thought of it as a one beautiful piece in the artwork and the inside. And like
right.
we took time to. We really care about the whole piece. And you know what? If people like just one song of ours, and that's, you know, that's still awesome. That's crazy that we have a song that's getting out there to people. But
sure.
I definitely listen to music. Like, I'll listen to a whole album.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that that hasn't affected the way that you make your music or put it together.
I don't even know how to talk about like streaming and stuff. It's so abstract.
Yeah. I mean, that's the catch, right? It's more people discover you that way.
I'll tell you this. I just had this thing.
Yeah.
I decided to start running again like 2 weeks ago and I went down to this gym in our hotel. And I was just so excited to listen to just like this Pixies playlist I made. And I pressed play and it was like, you are not connected to the internet. Like everything was up in my cloud, I guess. So I like couldn't even access my own music, even though I bought it and it was like in my phone. And I just didn't run. I just like went up to my room.
Really?
Yeah, I was so pissed.
Yeah. I mean, and imagine when that cloud goes away, which it could because no one understands what it is and who knows
where's my music.
Yeah. So you gotta get the vinyl, guys.
I know, a mini vinyl for your phone.
Ooh.
Can you imagine I run with like a vinyl like with it?
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, that'd be,
yeah.
Yeah,
that would be the height of hipsterism.
I know,
I'm sure it's just around the corner. If you do move back to New York,
yeah, tempting.
That might be happening by the time you come back.
Tempting.
Yeah.
Wait, where do you live in New York? Am I not supposed to give that away so people stalk you?
Yeah. Please. I mean, I'll know I did something right if I finally have stalkers. I live in Bushwick.
Oh, cool. We lived in Bed-Stuy.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Neighbors. Yeah. It's weird because when I left New York in 2009, that area, well, Bushwick was nothing. And even Williamsburg was still kind of like, yeah, it's fine, but like it's not pretty. It's not cute. Because I used to live in Park Slope.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Beautiful.
We're in Boreham Hill right now.
Oh, are you?
It's like, I'm like, can I just buy a brownstone and live here?
Brownstone, Brooklyn is, yeah, I know.
That's so, you have to be, people don't understand this who don't, like, haven't lived in New York, but you have to be, like, a billionaire to live like that. It's insane.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I know, and I think Brooklyn now is more expensive than Manhattan, which is...
Which is crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. But, you know, you have a few successful albums under your belt, knock on wood. This will be the third one, so so you can come on back.
I'll be
rural
back.
Brooklyn for a while.
Studio apartment with a baby.
Yeah, exactly. That's the romantic artist dream with your paintings all over.
Totally. Yeah. I definitely did that.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, it is time to send you back on your way, which hopefully means a nap. Is that possible in your life these days?
I think we'll be napping at bedtime, but yeah.
Yeah, eventually.
This was fun talking.
Yeah, thanks, Hannah. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have fun on tour. Good luck with the album. Big Mess, guys. Check it out. Now this episode is posting. It's out, so you can have it right this second.
Get it.
Get it.
Buy it.
All right. Thanks, Lee.